I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line now is obviously NBA Insider. 2008 NBA champion Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He joins us now. Let's make him Brad the Giant interview.
Now, it's the Giant interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
What do you think, Brian? We going to get crazy tonight, you think? A lot of trades. For now, it seems like the Grizzlies have made the biggest, at least pre-draft, splash with their trade of Jonas Valanciunas moving up from 17 to 10. What you think? You think it's going to get hot and heavy?
It does sound like that there's like something that was brewing for a few days. I like the move that they made. I know that Pelicans were looking to clear space, and you guys are looking to move up in the draft. And I actually think there's a big difference in this particular draft at 10 than there is at 17.
All right.
So
yes.
I'm excited. I mean, I hope we're going to do these calls next year as well. And I just love the way Memphis plays. I love their grit and grind, how it used to be and how it still is. Different, but it's still, you know, like, I like their toughness. So, you know, I root for Memphis all the way. But I'm curious on what type of wing they can get. Mm-hmm. Are they looking for a guy that can have, you know, a limited potential on being like a go-to guy? Or are they looking for a guy that can come in right away and play off of guys like Dylan Brooks and John Morant?
So which one should they be looking for then, Ryan? You know the timeline of these guys and that they're not – hell, they may take a step back next year, you know, trading Jonas. But the point is they've got the eye toward the future. Should it be a guy that that they can take a year or two to develop? Maybe that shot comes around, or should it be a guy that can contribute right now with the timeline they're on? Which one do you think it should be?
You know, so I think it's more about like finding that individual player that you think has that special quality.
Okay.
You know, like a guy like Book Knight, you know, and up in Connecticut. There's been a lot of talk of Moses Moody. I think he's not necessarily like a elite ball handler, but he's the type of guy that plays off the ball, could be a 3-and-D guy. Don't love his decision-making, and he's not a great finisher, but, you know, like guys with length who could shoot. I mean, those are guys that could fit in. But if it just depends. Like, even I'd be really curious on Jonathan Kuminga. You know, Jonathan Kuminga, he's definitely not going to be ready, you know, next year. Oh, but right. In 3 years from now, 2 years from now, he could be – you know, a top player where you're like, man, how the heck do we get this guy at 10th? So I think it's just a matter of, you know, you have to weigh out how good you think these top prospects are.
Mm-hmm. Where do you come down on Franz Wagner?
High, really high. Wow. So he'd be a perfect guy that fits in with what Memphis does and wants to and play like, and he could fit in and play with them starting next year and have an impact. But his upside, he's never going to be an on-ball guy that creates or draws to or runs pick and roll. But outside of that, I really love him. And I talked to a few people that have worked out against him. They say he has major, major swag and toughness. So that matters a lot to me. Yeah. A lot of these guys, to me, a lot of false bravado when they come into the NBA. They tell you what they're going to do. They're not going to show you what they're going to do. Wagner, to me, is a guy that has, like, I don't want to say like crazy upside, as in he's going to be a five-time All-Star.
No, I'm with you.
I do think right away that he can come in and impact the game.
I'm with you because I've looked at him more. I've studied him more. Helps me studying him doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to who the pick is going to take. But I've come around on him. Who is he like? Is there anybody he's like, Brian? I hate the comps, especially if we try to make them All-Stars. But is there, you talked about that toughness. Is there anybody that you think of in the league right now that he could be like, you know what I'm saying, or whose game is similar?
Remember Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. He's a little bit like that. Like, he's oversized. Like, Dunleavy was tougher than people think. You know, like, he was a good player. You know, he's just like, maybe he has a ceiling to be, like,
there's
I don't
a ceiling
know if he'll
there.
Ever,
I'm but, with you. I kind of feel what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, if you had a guy like that on your team, like Dunleavy was a good player for a long time. So maybe, and I'm not saying he's Klay Thompson, but he has, like, you know, like, he can move without the ball and shoot off the move. And, you know, like with Memphis and the way that they play, they want to push the ball up the floor. You know how valuable it is for a guy to get out in front, sprint to the corner, space the floor. If you ever watch like Duncan Robinson play, I'm not saying he's Duncan Robinson, but you watch how people react to Duncan Robinson in transition. It opens up the floor for everybody else. And if you got the guy already. You got Ja Morant, a guy who can get downhill that can attack in transition. You need guys that can space the floor. So, yeah, I'd be high on that, but the question would just be, like, when I watch Book Knight from UConn, he reminds me of, like, a Jamal Murray type. So think about, like, if let's just say he develops into Jamal Murray. If you had John Moran and Jamal Murray, you guys had that court would be pretty nasty, you know?
There ain't no
so
question
it's like
about
one
it.
Of those things where you got to look at the guy and say, does he have star quality? Like, a guy, obviously, you're not going to get Jalen Green, but he has star quality. He has the ability to be a stud player, but you know, like, you're not getting him at 10, so you got to try to find, like, there's going to be someone that drops, and whoever that guy is, if you think about a couple years ago, remember Michael Porter Jr., he dropped to 14, and because of the back issue or whatever it was, but there could be a guy like that where Memphis could roll the dice on.
Well, it sounds like your boy Book Knight's going to be, he's a riser, he's not going to be one of those guys, like, he's going to get snapped up, and that he wouldn't, you know, probably too high for the Grizzlies to get him at 10. In terms of the guys at the top of the draft, Brian, you know, Cade at number one, you mentioned Jalen Green, I'm with you, there's star power there, we know him well because Penny was trying to get him at Memphis. Which one are you the most, I suppose, have the most confidence in terms of the transition over, you know, whether they can be a star or not, which one are you most confident in? Out of those top guys of Cunningham, of Green, and Evan Mobley, throw Suggs in there if you want, which one are you most behind? This is my guy.
Yeah, I think, I like all four of them.
Sure.
And I think they'll all be really good. And I think the NBA, these young players coming in, they're much better than what they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Way more polished, way smarter in understanding their roles. So, but I'm a Cade Cunningham guy. Like, I think he's going to fit in. He's exactly, when you watch Detroit, he's exactly what Detroit needs. Like, he's a big, strong, defensive guy who can get buckets. He plays at his speed. They need a guy like that. They need a go-to guy. He'll fit in really well with Jeremy Grant, Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart. Like, all these guys, like, I think, like, when they won the lottery that day, I was like, perfect fit. Like, I think he's a better fit than anybody in the draft. So, and I think that's really important. Finding the right fit is important. It doesn't take 3 or 4 years to figure this out. He's going to get there. He's going to hit the ground running, and he's going to be the guy. And they're going to, and they should have early success with a very young team and be almost like interesting to look forward to, the same way the Memphis Grizzlies are. Like, you guys are a very interesting team to watch moving forward. Can they get that guy to be a championship level player, player, so they can be that team? I think Cade Cunningham is that guy, and I think now it's time for them. It'll just take a little bit of time for them to figure it out.
When I bristled up on Cade, it's when folks have said he's Luka. And I told you, you know me, that's when you start doing the comps to, like, some of the best players in the league, that's when it feels like it gets silly. But then you see the other side of it. Some folks think he's Grant Hill. He doesn't feel like he's quite that athletic. But then I had one of our listeners throw a name at me that I hadn't thought about in a long time, but, man, was he a stud. I wonder what you think of the comp. Steve Smith and Cade Cunningham. Is that one way off, or would that one be closer than even the other two guys? What do you think? Are there games too different?
It's so hard for, like Cade Cunningham could be a ball-dominant guy like Luka. Like, Cade Cunningham goes where he
part.
Wants to
yes,
go.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, what would Steve Smith be like nowadays? Like, Steve Smith would run, and, you know, you guys got old hoop heads, and that's why I like making these calls. Not only you know him, like there's – how many markets are bringing up Steve Smith? You know, like, not many markets.
Not many.
So that's,
right.
That's why I love these calls. But I do think, like, he has ball-dominant skills where you know, like those point guards who could dribble and keep guys on their hip and it doesn't really matter, like the defense doesn't bother them?
Yes.
That's how Cade Cunningham is. And I think, you know, Harden is like that. It's a little bit more explosive, and, you know, it's really hard to compare a guy to Harden. But the way that Luka plays and goes where he wants on the floor and gets to his spot and takes his shots, yeah, Cade Cunningham does the same thing. Now, will he be able to shoot the step-back jumper at 38%? Like, I don't know. Like,
no,
that takes time.
Right.
But I know that as far as when they're dribbling and keeping the defense on their hips, both those guys are very similar in using their size and strength and doing that.
All right, how much, just because, you know, Gavone's got him over to ESPN's got him mocked to Memphis, you know, we haven't watched much of him, obviously, the Australia angle, but have you looked at this Josh Giddey kid? And if Memphis, he's the one guy, Brad, our producer here, program director, he and I both have said, because he right now, sure, 6'9", can play make, but you got a playmaker. And if he's going to be on the floor with Ja Morant, yeah, he's got to play some defense and shoot the ball. No. And that's where they said that's where the question marks are. So you're kind of with us that Giddey's a little scary?
Yeah. I wouldn't take Giddey, no.
Okay,
not for Memphis. I think there's a lot of other teams that he could fit in. I think it's important. I do. I a lot of people, like, they give you, like, that old spiel, like, best player available. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. I didn't like when, the Cleveland Cavaliers had Colin Sexton, then they took Darius Garland.
Yep.
I think that's repetitive. I don't think that that's a good thing to do. So I think you got to find the fit. And that's why when we were just talking about Cade Cunningham, I think he fits in really well with Killian Hayes. Like, Killian Hayes is a ball-dominant guy, but not crazy. Like, you don't need – like, both those guys can play on the ball and off the ball. So when I look at Memphis, I don't think Giddey is the guy that they need. I look at, like Wagner, I look at Booknight, I look at Moses Moody. At guys that can play more off the ball and play with Ja. Like, make Ja better. And that's what's going on. Like, I'm up in Boston right now, and people are wondering, like, what's Brad going to do? I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put everyone around on the team is going to be there to enhance Jason and Jalen. That's it. That's what the guys are. You sign with the Celtics. You're on the Celtics. Your role on the Celtics, make those two superstars into top five, top 10 talent. You need guys to make Ja Morant a top 10 talent. That's what you're looking for. Giddey, to me, doesn't really do that. Even though I like him as a player a lot, he doesn't do that for me.
No, I'm with you completely. We're talking with Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. He is with us. No Josh Giddey tonight for the Memphis
I'm
Grizzlies.
I'm with him, bro.
If they stay
That's
at number
it.
10, we got him. He's with us. Yeah. There's no question about it. Now I want to go back to the JV trade and what the Grizzlies have done, but on the other side of that, do you think that trade – helps New Orleans? How much does it help them, Brian, in terms of adding Scalabrine? Right, they want to unclog the middle to get Steven get off those contracts so they can go after somebody in free agency. But you get Steven Adams out of the middle, and you want to go a little bit more with a stretch big guy. Well, Jonas took like one a game, shot it well, but that's not what he is. Does that trade help them on the floor, do you think? What does that do for New Orleans?
They can't come out and say, we're really looking at getting Kyle Lowry. You know what I mean? There's tampering rules involved in that. So
right.
When you look at that trade, so you're basically saying, like, we're adding Kyle Lowry, Valanciunas, and then we're adding it to our – and we're giving up seven slots on our pick.
Yeah.
And we still have Nicole Alexander-Walker and one more other point guard that they really like, Kira Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So they like what they have. So I think that trade makes no sense unless – they sign a point guard for $25 to $30 million.
And Ball,
so Ball's gone. Yeah, Ball's gone. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, like, when you look at why they did that, that is why they made that move. And it's a copycat league. Everyone's going to try to copy the Phoenix Suns and the Chris Paul situation. So they're thinking that listen, they could strike out and not get Kyle Lowry.
That's what I was going to ask.
Have a point guard,
yeah.
And then it's a bad trade.
That's what I was going to ask.
Up.
If you're Kyle Lowry, you got Knicks and you got them and maybe others – how high is New Orleans on your priority list with a new coach and, you know, Zion and Ingram? That's what I'm saying. Are you picking the Knicks? You're picking the Knicks before you're picking the Pelicans, right, Brian?
Yeah, but maybe they can offer 4 years,
a little bit more, a little sweeter deal.
Yeah. You know how it is. Like, one day when you guys have cap space, if you're ever going to land a free agent, you got to overpay for that guy. It's like, that's just the way it goes, man. It's unfair, but that's why today, for all the small markets out there, it's so much more important. These days are so important for Oregon. I mean, they're important for all organizations, and you can't miss on guys. But, like, you really, when you're small market, you can't miss. You've got, like, tonight, them going from 17 to 10, whoever they take, Memphis, mm-hmm. whoever they take at 10, they got a hit. This got to be a hit. This is a franchise-changing moment for the Memphis Grizzlies. So they got to make sure this is the right guy.
No, we agree completely. Let me ask you this. You, like you said, you're up in Boston. How much pressure is there on Brad, or isn't there? I'd love to have a job, right, man, where I don't get it done and I get a promotion up. Now, you may not look at it that way. That's the way we've been joking about it here in Memphis. Is there? Maybe there is no pressure on Brad Stevens in Boston. He runs the damn thing, gets promoted. Or is there? I mean, in this role, don't you have to get it done? Isn't there going to be some pressure on this guy?
No, because
y'all love you some Brad Stevens. My goodness.
Well, I do love Brad Stevens, but I don't think that there's pressure like you know, they made the Kemba Walker deal for Al Horford, they gave up the pick, they got Moses Brown. So now the pressure is like can Jalen like I said before, like those two guys they have to become better. And so I don't think that there's a lot of pressure on him to make a move. I do think when Al Horford's deal is up and now they have cap space, there is a little bit of pressure for Jalen and Jason to recruit another big-time player, but that's not going to happen for, I think, 2 years. It's obvious that the Celtics have to take, you know, a step back. It's just the way it goes. They got to dip down a little bit to rebuild. And it's not a rebuild. It's like a retool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then but ultimately, Brad Stevens is going to be up against it to build a championship-caliber team or be in the conversation to be a championship-caliber team. And right now, they're probably not. But, you know, who knows how these things go. And you just never know how individuals are going to develop. I can tell you for certainty, if Ja Morant comes back next year and he's 38, 39, 40% from three, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies no longer are looking to be in the playing game. I'll guarantee that. So
100%.
The pressure comes when the individual players start to really rise up. Now you got to start winning games, and you got to start putting the right pieces around. There's a lot of pressure on Memphis to get this 10th pick right because Ja Morant has the ability to be a superstar.
No question about it. And you want him to stay here and feel like he's got the pieces that he needs around him. Last thing I got for you, Brian, and we love these hits. They make us smarter. There's no question about it. Golden State's got 2 picks, 7 and 14 tonight. They need, you know, right now, as opposed to, you know, and I suppose there are players clearly that can help them right now in the draft, but seems like that's a team that would want to add veterans too. Do you expect them to be looking to do that, to be willing and dealing, whether it's to add a veteran or a rookie that can help right now? Do you expect them to be active and not just sort of sit and take two rookies at 7-14?
They probably will if no one's willing to deal. They got their eye on Damian Lillard and Brad Beal. They might even flirt with the Ben Simmons thing, but yeah, they're 100% looking to make a move, but you also have to be prepared for the other way. You're not just going to do a bad move to do a bad move.
Right.
You know, right now you got to be ready to draft. If they're also really interested in Wagner as well, so he might end up going seven to them because he's a play now type of guy. They don't need to go out there and look for a guy that's going to, you know, like be a playmaker. They got that already.
Yep, he can help them right now. Brian, you help us. Thanks so much for these hits, brother. Look forward to the next one, man. You're the man. He is Brian Scalabrine. See you, brother. Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA Insider. Those calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up and make the most out of the stop you need to make.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.